This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to super producer and host Ryan Hickey holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. And thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can listen on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. You can lock in easily on Sirius XM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask that smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And then boom, you got the show. So whether you happen to be at home, at work, on the road, in traffic, you're moving, you're shaking, you're here, you're there, I'm glad that you're here with me. This is when the show gets started. Every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. I hope you ended your weekend with a championship like you were a South Carolina Gamecock. I hope you ended your weekend on a high, looking forward to Monday like you were Purdue or UConn. The men's national championship is going to take place later on this evening. By the time they really get into the thick of it, I'm going to be gone. So we're going to have an opportunity to preview the game as we continue on throughout the course of the show. How about this? In 20 minutes from now, Dom Amore is going to join us from the Hartford Courant. As you can bet, he covers UConn, so we're going to have that conversation. Next hour, we're going to chat with someone who knows all about Purdue. Sam King is going to join us from the Journal and Courier Purdue. The Journal and Courier, he'll be here. And then later on in the show, if you haven't heard, John Calipari is deciding to kind of flip the script and leave Kentucky to go to Arkansas. He's going to go from one SEC school to another SEC school, and it seems like he's just leaving in the middle of the night. That's what it feels like. And so as of right now, it's being reported that they are still having conversations about leaving Kentucky, or matter of fact, ending up in Arkansas. And the story is absolutely hilarious. A matter of fact, I think they got the guy, Calipari, walking his dog. And, of course, the media was outside his house ready to get a quote. And so we'll get into that momentarily. There's so many other things that we need to discuss. We have officially received the inductees for the 2024 Basketball Hall of Fame. We're going to find out, well, we have found out who's going into Springfield as a part of the national championship tonight. They always showcase the new inductees during halftime. And so we have a few of them. I would say the main event, the headliner, if you want to consider them, at least from the player perspective, is probably Vince Carter and then also Chauncey Billups. We're going to get into Caitlin Clark. We know that with South Carolina winning the championship yesterday, congratulations to them, that Caitlin Clark is done. No championship. She won't win a championship unless she wins one with the Indiana Fever and the WNBA, and life goes on. And nobody could take away anything that Caitlin Clark has accomplished, and we'll get into that next hour. And speaking of accomplishments, Klay Thompson has some words for Draymond Green and all of these ejections. We will hear from Klay Thompson later on in the show. And then I don't know if you guys have been paying attention here early in the MLB season, but we got pitchers dropping like flies, left, right, and center. I mean, Justin Verlander is someone who isn't even playing right now. And Justin Verlander has some thoughts as to why someone like, even now more recently, Shane Bieber is going to be out for the season. It's a new pitcher every day. Spencer Strider has a UCL issue in his elbow. It's just bad all the way around. But let's not talk about the bad. Let's talk about some good, because it's Ryan Hickey. Ryan, how are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
I did, JR. It was fun. It was a good weekend. So no complaints.
Sound like you had to think about it. You okay?
No, no. Yeah, it was a good weekend. Saw some friends, watched some good basketball. You know, I don't want to say got dragged, but went to my girlfriend's friend's 30th birthday. So that's always interesting when it's like not your group of friends, someone else's.
Oh boy.
But, you know, it's sacrifice, right?
Was this like a play date? Did you go with an expectation that you were now going to be paired up to sit with a bunch of other guys that you don't know?
So I didn't know what to expect on the guy front. It was about, right. I would say the split was 50-50, guy, girl. The my girlfriend's friend, well, I guess obviously he's a girl. But in terms of like guys I knew, there's only one other guy. So okay. There was not a lot of fraternizing with other gentlemen there.
Okay.
It was me and the girls.
Well, sometimes that's good, man. You, imagine when I go to a barbecue and people go, hey, do you know JR? And I go, no. And they go, do you know what JR does? And I go, oh, here we go. They're going to ask me about every athlete under the sun for the next 2 hours. I'm like, yo, I just want to stand here and have a Corona like everybody else, okay? I don't want to talk about why the Lakers stink, and I don't want to do that right now. I just want to have a Corona and enjoy my time off. And so, well, did you at least enjoy the meal? You had a good time?
Oh, Italian restaurant is delicious. Food was delicious.
Good.
I mean, it was a good time. The people there are very nice. Overall is very good, and I did not talk a lot of sports, which I'm with you. That was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, it's nice to sit down for once and not have to explain to people, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, so this is what you do? So how is that? It's, I guess, first world problems. But, hey, listen, it's the world that we live in right now. And I don't know, maybe so many odd and weird things are happening in the world of sports. Maybe there was an earthquake in New York last week. Maybe we got this solar eclipse. Maybe all of these weird things are happening on Earth because of some of these natural occurrences. We're going to get into John Calipari in a minute. Did you experience today, Hickey, before we move on to this weird guy, did you experience the eclipse?
Not really. I left my apartment at like 3:20, and I think in New York City, like it was supposed to happen at 3:25 p.m., it was still pretty, like, it was darker, but still pretty bright. And I'm pretty sure, like, in at least in the New York City area, you couldn't get lined up to actually see it. So,
oh, wow.
I guess, like, technically, I was outside when it was supposed to happen. There were a lot of people outside, mostly with the glasses as well. I did not
did
have
it get
glasses.
Dark?
I did not look outside. It was, like, cloudy.
Right.
Like, if I lived under a rock and they said, hey, I knew nothing about the solar eclipse, I just thought, one of like, oh, the clouds are moving in, and it's like just a cloudy day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt here in Atlanta. And noticeably, over maybe the course of an hour, it got a little darker. And I was like, it would have felt like unusual, clouds. Like, I'm looking out the studio window right now, it's cloudy outside. So, you know, shout outs to the eclipse and all the people who were able to experience it where it actually mattered.
Did you buy the glasses?
Did I wear glasses?
Yeah, you know, like the solar eclipse glasses you're supposed to.
No. I didn't go outside. No.
Oh, you stayed. Okay.
No, I looked out. I looked out the window and I said, "Oh, it's looking kind of cloudy," and then I went about my day. And then I'm like, "Okay, the sun is out, and now as of right now, here in Atlanta, Georgia, at about 6:07, it's currently cloudy again. So no big sweat there."
But you don't want to drive to the path. You know, drive out of your way like a few hours?
No, don't you, it's like it went from Texas to the Midwest and then went to the Northeast, right?
Right. But there's paths you can locate. I guess, yeah, if you're in Atlanta, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. And I just want to know what other weird things are going to happen. Not with Earth, but maybe here on Earth as a result. Not to say that any of these things are, tied together. But it's certainly odd. You know what they say about the full moon and the moon comes out and people and things start acting weird. There was nothing odder last night than right before midnight that this story popped up that John Calipari was going to be leaving Kentucky and is working on an agreement to become the next head coach of Arkansas. And I said to myself, wait a minute, is this the same John Calipari that just sat around last week on a podcast and told everybody that he was dedicated to the university, that he wasn't going to leave, he sold everybody a bill of goods, and it's just wild. We know Eric Musselman just left the Arkansas Razorbacks to become the head coach of USC. And this is the domino effect that we always have in college basketball. Coaches leave, another coach fills up the spot, the players then leave, and what have you. And so it's wild. Listen to John Calipari. This was last week. He talked about how much fun he had coaching the team, even though they got eliminated, another shocker. Like, how the hell do you go out there and just lose to Oakland? And most people didn't know that this was not in Oakland, California. This team was from Oakland, Michigan. And so with John Calipari on the hot seat, he pretty much corrected everybody and said, oh, yeah, I love it here. We got to be patient. Listen to what he said on the Ways to Win podcast.
I'm telling you, I had more fun coaching. And when this thing ended, and it ends abruptly for everybody but one, ours was just too early. But it's like falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
And especially when you're loving your team.
Yeah.
And they played together and they sacrificed for one another. They celebrated. We're exciting to watch. Everybody loved watching us. And it ends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it stings. It hurts. It's sickening. And, you know, our fans travel.
Yeah.
They're there. They're into it. And you know what? You want to do it for them.
Sure.
But you're really trying to do it for each other.
Oh, man. Oh, he's selling everybody on the dream. And so it's pretty hilarious when he's preaching that dream last week, telling everybody in Kentucky to have patience and we're going to get this right and I want to be here and all that nonsense. This is the news that broke on CBS Sports. Listen to this.
We've got breaking news out of College Hoops, where Kentucky's John Calipari is nearing an agreement to become the next head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's the latest from our Matt Norlander. He's going to be replacing former SEC rival Eric Musselman, who left for the USC job after five seasons in Fayetteville. It's been a shaky stretch for Coach Cal in Lexington, who hasn't made it to the Final Four since 2015, almost a decade. And they haven't gotten out of the first weekend since 2019.
Oh, man. Yeah, he stunk. They've stunk, especially with the change in landscape right now in college basketball. They stink. It's tough to just go one and done, and players are moving around in the transfer portal. There's no John Wall and Devin Booker and Anthony Davis, by the way. Having Anthony Davis was the last time that he won a championship. That was back in 2012. I mean, just over the last 4 years, John Calipari has gotten smacked out of the tournament. A bunch of dudes from Oakland. That one guy who was shooting the threes, I think it was Gokey, I think his name was, just took nothing but threes, eliminated him. Lost to Kansas State last year. Lost to St. Peter's, remember that, 2 years ago? And didn't even make the tournament back in 2021. Yeah, you can't bring back John Wall, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis. Them days are over, man. This man has gone to 4 Final Fours. Coach Kentucky for 15 seasons, and right now it's being reported that he has signed or will sign a 5-year deal making about $7.5 to $8 million per year. And if you're Kentucky, this is music to your ears because you don't have to pay him $33 million to get the hell up on out of Dodge. And so as of right now, John Calipari is keeping mum. And you got to know that all of this is true. It's accurate. Because in the TMZ-type world that we live in, well, at least even the news, WKYT caught John Calipari walking his dog. And they asked this man, what the hell is going on? Are you leaving us? And listen to what he had to say.
Hey, Coach, you got anything you want to say to your fans?
I'm walking my dog right now.
Anything right now? You want to say anything to your fans right now?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Come on, Paul. Come on. My dog is walking me. Come on.
My dog is walking me. Come on. Hickey, imagine walking out your house and they're just like, hey, man, you leaving? What's so difficult about saying I'm not going anywhere? Because it'd be a lie, right?
I was just going to say, he doesn't sound like a man who wants to lie, so you can't lie if you don't say anything.
This whole story is weird. And so reportedly, and if you had no idea, shout outs to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, yes, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is an Arkansas alum. And you can bet your behind that there's a lot of money that Jerry Jones has parked in Arkansas. And what we've also heard, and this is the part that just gets weird, is that John Tyson, and the name Tyson, no, not Mike Tyson, Tyson as in chicken. Yes, John Tyson is an heir of Tyson Foods. Yeah, the chicken that you see in your supermarket and grocery store, that this rich dude is friends with John Calipari, and it's basically helped kind of grease the skids for him to leave Kentucky and go down to Arkansas. And John Calipari basically is following the money, and maybe Kentucky didn't want him. Maybe they didn't want him, and this was a way to get him the hell up on out of Dodge without firing him and having to owe him money. And so John Calipari, by all indications, is gone, is done, and is going to chase all this money in Arkansas. But I'll tell you this much, he could have all the money in the world. As long as the players in college, as long as the system is built to be one and done, John Calipari, am I counting him out from winning another championship? No. But I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference between Kentucky and Arkansas. Everybody at this point, with the benefit of a collective, the benefit of some boosters, everybody can try to pay for a championship. I don't think it matters right now where the hell your program is. I mean, look at the programs that are having success right now competing for the national championship. Purdue has gone through the fire, and they finally got to the championship. UConn is trying to go back-to-back for the first time since any team has done it, since 2006-2007 with the Gators. John Calipari can chase the money, but it doesn't guarantee a championship in Arkansas. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We got a lot to get into. We're going to talk about South Carolina winning the women's championship. We're going to get into Caitlin Clark, who is still absolutely amazing despite winning. Klay Thompson explained what the hell is going on with Draymond Green and how he feels. We got a lot to do, including telling you later in the show about a few things that took place this day in sports history. But on the other side of the break, we're going to try to get you all warmed up and all set for the Final Four. Well, forget the Final Four. The national championship game is tonight. UConn and Purdue. Dom Amore is going to join us from the Hartford Current. Knows all about UConn. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We saw South Carolina take the championship yesterday out in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, tonight, the men's champions are going to be crowned. Who's going to cut down the nets? We got Purdue. We got UConn. After the Final Four, we are finally here. So to break it down, to look at things from a UConn perspective, we're going to have a chat with someone who is coming to us live from Glendale, Arizona. He covers UConn and Connecticut sports for the Hartford Current. It's Dom Amore. Dom, thank you for taking the time to hop on. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon, JR. How are you?
I'm very well, and I know that you're in the stadium right now. What's the vibe, man? Almost, what are we, 3 hours away? How are things out in Arizona?
Well, it's probably a little too early to tell you what the vibe is. Maybe an hour before the game, I could tell you. It's just now starting to gather. But, you know, I think this is going to be a really, really great championship game. You know, UConn has won all these games by big scores, and I think the consensus is, though, that this is going to be the toughest test that they've had. You know, UConn has not had to play a number one seed, and that's maybe been the one, you know, the one knock on UConn the last couple of years is that a lot of the high seeds have been knocked out. Not the case now. They're going to have to beat the best to be the best.
Dom Amore is here with us from the Hartford Current, covers the UConn Huskies. What is the difference that you've seen between, I don't want to say the attitude because the squads are different, but how is this year's team different from last year's team, whether it's roster composition, attitude, anything?
Well, I think it's just confidence. I think that, you know, last year's team had that really bad slump in the middle of the season, and they had to get their confidence back. And then once they did, they were hard to stop. They also had to get over that hump in the first round of the tournament. They had been beaten in the first round the previous 2 years, you know, and who are they facing in the first round? Rick Pitino. kind of the boogeyman who was going to ruin last season, too. Once they got over that, then they just never looked back. I think this year, there were no blocks, mental or otherwise. They just had that tremendous confidence from last year carried into this year, not only with the players who were back, but the new players who came in kind of inherited that. So this team has played like it expected to win the national championship from day one, and it's just delivered night after night after night.
No, Dom, having covered this team, have you seen any differences in the approach of Coach Hurley? A lot of the commentary that has surrounded him this year has been of someone who's very surly, ready to defend the team, ready to fight. Is that different as kind of the years have gone on?
No, that's exactly what he was when he came in here, and that's what he is now. He's combative, and he has what, if you're an old baseball guy, what Phil Rizzuto used to call rabbit ears. You know, he hears every comment, and he sees every slight. And he hears, and if he doesn't hear him, he'll make one up. He said that himself. But he hears all these things to motivate himself and his team. He's a guy that just came out of Jersey City with a chip on his shoulder and hasn't been knocked off yet.
Dom Amore is here with us from the Hartford Current. Now, knowing all of these coaching moves are taking place right before you joined us, we were talking about Calipari. Obviously, looks like he's going on down to Arkansas. Do you think, after going back-to-back, should we eliminate Dan Hurley from moving on to another team, or should we expect him to be there until it's time to hang him up?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've seen enough of these things unfold, and I'm sure you have too, that I wouldn't eliminate that until Kentucky has a coach in place. I mean, these things happen. You have to believe that if Kentucky wanted Dan Hurley badly enough, they could throw an unlimited amount of money at them. I mean, they're an SEC school with SEC football money and SEC amenities, facilities. So if they really wanted them, they could throw an unlimited amount of money at them. In Dan's case, he strikes me as the type of guy, though, that wouldn't want to mess with happy. I think he's very happy where he is. I think his family is very happy in this part of the country, the Northeast. I think that's where he wants to stay. But frankly, Kentucky's Kentucky. You know, opportunities like that, they'll come around all the time. And, if I'm Kentucky, Dan Hurley's irresistible to me because he's the biggest name in the sport, and that's what they need, the biggest star in the sport. If you're UConn, I'd be nervous until that Kentucky job is filled and Dan Hurley's not at a press conference in Lexington.
Oh, well, let's see what happens throughout the course of tonight. Dom Amore is here with us. Covers the Huskies for the Hartford Current. When you actually think about the basketball that's going to take place on the court tonight, everybody knows about Zach Edey. He's the dude that gets all of the attention. People, especially more recently, have started to kind of pay attention to the other quote-unquote tall dude in Donovan Clingan. What can you tell us about him and his game? How do you expect the matchup to go?
Well, Klingon's very impressive. It seems like throughout this tournament, it's taken him a little bit to get going in these games. But once he's gotten going and kind of got his legs under him and his touch around the basket, he's been very, very hard to stop. He's probably, I would think that Purdue is probably not used to facing someone like this against Edey, that they're probably accustomed to having a big, big advantage there. And I think they will have an advantage simply because Edey is 7'4". But I don't think they'll have as big an advantage as they're accustomed to having. So I think it's going to be, I would have to, looking at the two, just looking at the stature, that, you figure Edey would have an advantage, but not nearly the advantage that he usually has. And I think if that matchup is a push, JR, then you really like UConn's chances everywhere else on the floor. If Edey absolutely dominates Klingan or gets him into foul trouble, gets him on the bench, then it could be a tough night for UConn. So I think that matchup is going to get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. I really think it's the key to this game.
Well, Dom, let me ask you this. When it's all said and done, who's cutting down the nets tonight? Are you going with UConn, or do you think Purdue comes through with the little bit of a shock?
Well, you know what, Jared? When you watch a team win 11 straight tournament games by double digits, and most of them by more than 20, it's hard to picture anybody but them cutting down the nets. But the one thing that's been, as I said, a reasonable knock on UConn is that they haven't played a one seed. This is one versus two. It's hard to imagine UConn winning the game by 20, but for me, it's hard to imagine UConn losing to anybody right now. And I would think I would think this would be the toughest game. But if you ask me to pick one, I guess I would say UConn cutting down the nets.
And Dom Amore is here with us from the Hartford Current. Now, if UConn does win, if UConn does go back-to-back, are they going to leave the campus alone this year? I mean, they tore the campus up last year, ripping down light posts and everything. Dom, what's going on in Connecticut?
Yeah, well, you know, those crazy, kooky stores, Connecticut folks, you never know what they're going to do. But UConn is just taking some preemptive steps. They took the light poles down already so that they won't be there to be torn down. And I think they're going to limit the use of alcohol. They've taken some steps to prevent it. And I would think, too, you know what the old saying, JR, act like you've been there? Well, UConn's been there. So if they win it again, maybe it would be a more of a matter-of-fact night on the campus at stores. So let's hope so. Let's hope for no violence and no injuries and no arrests. That shouldn't be what this is about.
Well, Dom, we know the men have an opportunity to win it all tonight. This past weekend, or Friday night, I should say, we all watched as Iowa late came out on top, you know, over the ladies of UConn, the Lady Huskies. What has been kind of the straw that stirs the drink in stores? Is it Geno? Was it Calhoun? Is it now Hurley? What makes this, or what has made this so attractive, and the success over the past 25 years from the men and the women and the winning streak? What has made this school in Connecticut just kind of pop? This, you wouldn't expect this, especially given the region.
Well, you know, UConn had a basketball history even before Jim Calhoun got there. They were a power in New England. They were back in the days when the NIT was a big deal. They went to the NIT quite a bit. They had some great moments. You know, one of the moments they still talk about in Connecticut was Dom Perno stealing the ball from Bill Bradley in 1964. So UConn has a kind of an old school New England basketball tradition. But when Jim Calhoun got there, he made it big time. He made it big league. You know, Connecticut always has kind of had, you know, the Whalers days. They've always had this thing that even though it's a big market, we're not big league. Jim Calhoun made it big league. And then, you know, Geno Auriemma kind of followed that up and made UConn and made women's basketball mainstream in Connecticut and elsewhere. So those two together have really kind of turned UConn into what it is. And, you know, the women's program has continued. And then obviously when Jim left and Kevin Ollie won another championship and had a free fall there. You know, Hurley has brought the men all the way back up to the top. So it's the two of them in conjunction with parallel histories, but both of them have had a tremendous impact on the quality of life in Connecticut. And I think the biggest thing is, JR, is that there aren't any pro teams in Connecticut.
Yep.
These are our pro teams. And there aren't any other colleges that are mid-majors. So it's the biggest market in the country where one college basketball program is the biggest thing in it. That's the difference. Even in Kentucky, there are two programs. You know, even in Carolina, there's more than one program. Other places have a lot of pro sports. But in Connecticut, it's a top 30 market, and one college basketball program, men, women, is the number one thing in that market. That's what makes it kind of big league. And it's like, you know, it's really like coaching an NBA team, either one of those coaches. To tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was going to be my next thing. You think about the schools and what they represent. There's no quote-unquote big league to go out there and represent the state. And the Huskies on every side, men, women's, it doesn't matter the sport, are certainly doing so. Hey, Tom, I want to thank you for coming through and joining us. Where can people follow you and your work? You tell us. Let us know.
All right. Great. Well, JR, you can read all my stories at the Current, CURANT.com. That's our website, the Hartford Current, oldest continually published newspaper in the United States, older than the United States. And you can follow me on X at Amore Current. So that's where you can find my stuff. Appreciate the plug.
No doubt, Dom. Are you getting a chance to enjoy, you know, the Phoenix metropolitan area, or strictly all hoops?
All business, man. I don't get to play any golf. Don't get to do anything like that. You know, it's for me, it's all hoops all the time. I'll enjoy myself when I get home.
I hear that. Well, Dom, safe travels to you. Enjoy the national championship tonight, and let's see what UConn does at the end of it, okay?
You got it, Jared. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you so much to Dom Amore, who covers all Connecticut sports on behalf of the Hartford Current. And when I say all Connecticut sports, you just heard it from him. You think about Connecticut? Yeah, you are smashed in between both New England and New York City. And so you basically have the Boston Red Sox, and then you have the New York Yankees. You have the New York Knicks, and then you have the Celtics. You have the New England Patriots, and then you have the Jets and the Giants. You got the Rangers, and then you got the Bruins, plus all the other teams surrounding the New York Rangers. The Islanders, yes, I know. The New Jersey Devils, yes, I know. There's other teams. But, hey, Connecticut is smashed in the middle. It's like half of Connecticut, one part of Connecticut belongs to New York, and then the other half of Connecticut belongs to New England. And so when you think about Huskies basketball, it's big time. It's really big time. And it's absolutely amazing that they're just able to stand out on both the men and the women's side. Man, the Whalers been gone for quite some time. We got to go back to the 90s when the Whalers left town. And so now what does Connecticut have? They got basketball. And ain't nothing wrong with that, especially as the men's Huskies have an opportunity to win the national championship tonight. It's going to really stink if the women get eliminated on Friday, didn't even make it to the national championship with Paige Beckers, and if the men go all the way and lose tonight, the folks in Connecticut are going to be quite upset. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about individuals who've had a lot of success. I'm going to tell you about the men and the women who are being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's in Springfield in Massachusetts. Matter of fact, we'll hear from two of them on the other side of the break as they have already given us some comments.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to Dom Amore, covers the UConn Huskies for the Hartford Current, for dropping by in the last break to pretty much break things down. Thinks that these Huskies, knowing that the run that they've been on, dating back to last year, what they've done so far this year, he, like most people, as do I, believe that UConn is going to come out on top and cut down the Nets. So let's see if Zach Edey, all 7'4" of him, can go out there and do anything to stop UConn from going back to back. If you missed that interview with Dom, you can always go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. If you want to call me up, it's simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, I told you that there are some individuals who have already had success, not necessarily a national championships, but they've had individual success. And later on tonight, they're going to be just honored. They're going to be acknowledged as the next class of 2024 for the Basketball Hall of Fame out in Springfield, Massachusetts. And so we got the announcement over the weekend. They're going to be honored at halftime before the enshrinement that takes place later on this year in August. And some of the names that are going to go in, Jerry West is going into the Hall of Fame again. You know, why you let a guy in three times? Well, you can be a coach, you can be an executive, you could be an owner, a contributor. Jerry West is already in as a player. He's in as a part of someone who's an executive. And now he's player, contributor, he's going in again as an executive. So congratulations to Jerry West. Herb Simon, the former owner of the Indiana Pacers, is going in. We can also look at Doug Collins is going in. We know Doug Collins is a coach. Shout-outs to Simone Augustus. Simone Augustus, a multi-time champion with the Minnesota Lynx. She's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Dick Barnett. A longtime New York Knick is finally going into the Hall of Fame. And then when you think about some of the men, Coach Charles Smith, Bo Ryan, Walter Davis, they're going in. Former Defensive Player of the Year with the Lakers, Michael Cooper, is going in. And then I would say the two headline names, and mostly because they're more recent, and one is one of the most exciting basketball players the league has ever seen, is Chauncey Billups, not the most exciting player, and then Vince Carter. Vince Carter, after playing forever, and I mean forever, Vince Carter played in four separate decades. Just retired in 2020, Vince Carter is done. He's going into the Hall of Fame, as well as Chauncey Billups, who we all know, after bouncing around as just like an average point guard, you know, found a lot of success with the Detroit Pistons, helping them to win a championship back in 2004. And so if you want to look at some headliners, if you want some big-time names, you can't ignore Chauncey Billups and Vince Carter. A matter of fact, let's listen to Chauncey Billups, because he pretty much said when he got the call that he was going into the Hall of Fame, Chauncey Billups thought it was a joke. Listen to this.
So obviously you know what I was first thinking, especially on my journey here going, I'm like, I know you ain't playing this sick game with me. But once, you know, I knew that it was official and it was real, it felt amazing. I guess it was a feeling of just validation, you know. Even though I felt good about my career, had I not even got into the Hall, like what I did, it wasn't going to be undone anyway. But that's basketball heaven. You know, that's what it is right there. So that's where you want to end up, you know. And I don't care if anybody was being very honest with you, they would tell you that you want to be appreciated, you know. For what the hard work and dedication that you put in, you want to feel appreciated by it, you know. And that's the greatest appreciation that you could ever, have.
Yeah, the championship is what really put Chauncey Billups, I would say, on the map. He was a journeyman point guard. He was. He ended up being drafted by the Boston Celtics. He was a third overall pick in 97. He ends up on Toronto, and then he goes to Denver, and then he's the point guard for Minnesota, and then he ends up on the Pistons. And it's like this ragtag bunch that everybody brought their individual skills. Ben Wallace with the defense, and Tayshaun Prince with the dexterity and the defense. And then you think about Rip Hamilton, speaking of UConn, running all over the place. And Chauncey Billups was pretty much the orchestrator of that team that upset the Los Angeles Lakers. I didn't have the Los Angeles Lakers beating, or excuse me, I didn't have the Pistons beating the Lakers. I don't know anybody who did. And they went out and did so. And so Chauncey Billups, congratulations to him. That NBA championship, also picking up finals MVP, is what really pushed him over the edge into the Hall of Fame. And now Chauncey Billups, well, he's the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. Congratulations. I don't know where they're going, but maybe he could help Scoot Henderson turn things around. Meanwhile, the other guy, without a shadow of a doubt, he was going into the Hall of Fame. Did he have the team success that people thought he would have? Did he have the individual success? Not necessarily. It feels that he hit the New Jersey Nets after the Raptors, and then it was just like, okay, it's Vince Carter. He hasn't won anything. But the slam dunk contest, the eight-time All-Stars, he was electric. The longevity of his career, playing forever, playing in the 90s, into the 2000s, into the teens, into the 2020s. Vince Carter, no doubt he was going into the Hall of Fame, and he recently was on ESPN, and he talked about what it means to go into Springfield.
When I got the call, I had to go outside just to make sure I got some fresh air, just in case, you know, I needed some. But it just... The journey in general, you know, you've played 22 years. There's a lot of moments that has happened that has been very influential and close to my heart. But it's just going through the process all of these years. And, you know, you start from high school and you just, you know, you have that dream of making it to the NBA. When you get to the NBA, you have the dream of, you know, for me, winning the dunk contest or being in the dunk contest and playing as long as possible. And then after that, once you retire, you start to hear Hall of Fame. And, you know, for me personally, I was just like, oh, I'm not sure, but, you know, it'd be great to be considered. And not only was I considered, I got the opportunity to actually step foot through those doors, and it's unreal.
Only player in NBA history to play 22 seasons. He was going into the Hall of Fame. And it's just wild how different the careers were between Chauncey Billups and then also Vince Carter. You know, Vince Carter came in a year after him in 1998. Chauncey Billups came in 1997. Chauncey Billups was done by 2014. Vince Carter didn't finish until 2020. Vince Carter doesn't have a title. I think it's even taken years for the fans in Toronto to kind of get over Vince Carter moving on and being traded to the New Jersey Nets, and to think that catching alley-oops from Jason Kidd didn't result in more success, but it didn't. And so Vince Carter was just known as a scorer and a dunker until he became kind of a secondary guy. And then he became a veteran, and he moved on into that space. So a little bit different as their careers evolved. And one thing about Hall of Fames, it doesn't matter if it's the men's side, the women's side, the basketball side, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame, where they let in everybody all over the world. I feel like the Hall of Fame's letting anybody right now. Did you contribute? Did you breathe? They want to let you in. Like, I can't believe this. And as great of a player as Jamal Crawford was, we see Jamal Crawford right now as an analyst for TNT and TBS. He was named the Sixth Man of the Year 3 times. Now, that's great. Now, is that enough to go into the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. I look at somebody like Jamal Crawford and I say, well, if you were that good, then do us a favor. You know, help take us to the playoffs. This man, it took him until 2010 to even get to the postseason. Jamal Crawford started playing in the year 2000, and I get it. He played for the Chicago Bulls and Eddie Curry and all of that. Jamal Crawford, great player. But if Hall of Fame for him, no, thank you. Hickey, what do you think? They let everybody in, right?
I mean, the fact that Jerry West is in 3 different times, I think, right there signals anyone can get in. They look for more reasons. If you're already in, let's put you in again. Let's find something else.
Yeah, how many times? Just give it a break already. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about another set of winners. South Carolina, the Gamecocks, and Dawn Staley. Now, that's a winner. Don't move. CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.